Sounds good. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to get a place in Exodus chapter number 17 tonight. Exodus chapter number 17. Like Pastor said, we have been on deputation for about a year and a half now. Not quite that much, but maybe about a year and a half. And we've really enjoyed ourselves. Had a great time last year at your conference. Was richly, richly blessed. There is no church that does a missions conference and supports missionaries like you do. So don't take that for granted. Since then, we have seen God just bless our ministry in really miraculous ways. I was sharing with Pastor Tommy at dinner tonight just the neat ways that churches have been partnering with us. We have seen so many churches, even in this tough economy, that are connecting with our ministry, wanting to partner. And we have just had a string of churches that have decided that they want to be a part of reaching Italy with the gospel of grace. So we're excited about that. Our family is growing. My wife is pregnant. She is due July 6th. We're expecting our third girl. We are trying to catch up to the Irelands. And we're failing. No, we're not close, but we're giving it a shot. But we have had just really some exciting experiences on the deputation trail. We're at a little over right now 60% of our needed support. So we want to be in Italy next time this year. We're hoping to finish up this year or maybe the beginning of next and head over there as soon as possible. Like I said, while we've been on the deputation trail, God has just done a work in our lives. And we have had just experiences that have really impacted us. Some great and great experiences, some other experiences that I would almost wish wouldn't have happened, but what we learned from the experience. And I want to give you one tonight. We were... I know you guys know what deputation is. Do you guys know what a missions department is? No? Okay, what a missions department is a church, has this big church building, and what they do is they frame in a little apartment. And what they do is when they have a missionary speak that night or something, it's kind of like a little hotel room, but it's in the church. And they put up missionaries there. Well, we were staying a night in a missions apartment. We weren't presenting at that church. We had just called them and asked them, hey, could we stay a night in your missions apartment? We're presenting at this other church. So that Sunday morning, we woke up. I loaded the van all up, got everything all settled. And as we were getting ready to head to that church on Sunday morning, a different one, some of the church members started arriving to the church. And this sweet old lady came up to me, and she thought I was a visitor. And she had a little cane, and she walked up to me, and she shook my hand, and she said, are you new here? And I said, no, ma'am. I said, actually, we just spent the night in your missions apartment, but we're actually missionaries, and we're presenting this morning at a different church. The lady shook my hand again, and she said, well, I'll be praying for you. And she walked off. And I thought, man, that lady was sweet. And it was ringing with me, and I got in my seat. I started the engine to the car, and it dawned on me. That lady doesn't know my name. Not only that, that lady doesn't know where I'm a missionary to. I'll take it a step further. The lady didn't know if I was a Christian. She just knew I had spent the night and said, hey, I'll be praying for you. And my fear is this tonight. Was that a legitimate promise? Or was that more just a well-intended empty promise? Listen, folks, you guys just came off an excellent missions conference. Like Pastor said, I listened to the sermons. I heard that you had a great set of missionaries there. It was nothing like the previous year, but they wanted me to know that the last year had better missionaries, but you had a great set of missionaries this year. And I know this church. I know how involved you are and how you learn their names and you come around the missionaries. And if it was anything like my year, I know that many of you went up to those missionaries. You shook their hand. You gave them a hug. You took a prayer card and you said, hey, I'll be praying for you. And my question tonight is this. A week later, how you doing? Have you been keeping those promises? When you shook Danny Flower's hands and you said, hey, I'll be praying for you. 7 days later, how you doing? See, because we understand, and I know you know this, that world evangelization is never going to get accomplished with just empty promises. If we're going to be a help, if we're going to be a support to missionaries, it's going to take a lot more than empty promises. Tonight we look at Exodus chapter 17, and I believe this passage, though written thousands of years ago, I believe this passage gives us some principles that if Crossroads Baptist Church understands, you will take your support to another level when it comes to supporting missionaries. Tonight, Exodus chapter 17, verse number 8, says, "Then came Amalek, who was an enemy of Israel." It says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Get these next five words, verse number 12. "But Moses' hands were heavy." But Moses' hands were heavy. "And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." And lastly, in verse number 13, "And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." Real, real simple story tonight, okay? The enemy comes to fight against Israel. And Joshua goes out to fight. And Moses goes to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. And it says that as a symbol of ministry and as a symbol of prayer, that Moses held up his hands. And as he held up those hands, Israel would start winning the battle. But his hands were heavy, so as his hands would get heavy and they would kind of drop, then Amalek, the Amalekites, would start getting the victory. And therefore, Aaron and Hur come alongside Moses and hold up his hands. Very simple story tonight. To illustrate, I'm going to ask Brother Larry to come up to the platform for just a minute. If you'd like, you can take off that coat, because it might get warm up here, but if you don't want to, you don't have to. But what I want you to illustrate by just raising your hands up nice and high. That's not nice and high. Nice and high, okay? Like I said, if that gets tight, you can take off the jacket, but I'll be back with you in just a second. He raised his hands up, okay? But it says that in the passage that his hands were heavy. So tonight, knowing that world evangelization is going to get accomplished when these missionaries are on the field and they're able to do the work, we know also that we need some people to come alongside them, amen? Tonight, we're going to pull out three principles out of this passage that if you can understand, nice and high, that if you can understand, you will be the best possible sending church there is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your grace. Lord, we acknowledge that you demonstrated, you commended your love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Lord, we're so thankful that we can trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Lord, tonight we're thankful for your word, that it's perfect and true. We're thankful that it's quick and powerful, and we're asking tonight that you would do something special. Lord, that you would work in a supernatural way that all of us, as a result of being here tonight, would leave more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, more like you. God, help us to learn the truths that you would have us to. I acknowledge tonight, Lord, that without you, we can do nothing, and that this hour is no different. I lean on you. I pray that you would help, enable, and do a great work, and we'll thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Three things. The first thing that I want to point out in this passage of Scripture tonight is this. Exodus chapter number 17, struggles are expected when it comes to missions. Struggles are expected. Look at verse number 8. Then came Amalek and what? And fought with Israel. Verse number 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out fight with Amalek. The first thing that we have to understand is this, that when it comes to missions, it's a fight. It's a battle. Missionaries go through struggles. You have a missionary now that you have partnered with that is going to Siberia. You don't think that'll be a struggle? Now, I believe God will give him the grace to get through that, but undoubtedly, that's a hardship, a struggle. I mean, I know missionaries that have gone through all kinds of struggles and trials on the mission field. I know a missionary to Cambodia. He raised up all of his support. He was there for 2 weeks in Cambodia. He's driving his car. He stops at a light, and somebody walks up to his car and puts a gun to his temple. Asked him to get out of the car. The guy lost his car that day. And not only that, the Cambodian said, if I ever see you again, I will kill you. Can I say this tonight? When that gun is to his temple, empty promises of prayer are not going to get it done. I know all kinds of missionaries, and if you read their letters and they're transparent, you see their struggles. You see how the devil is actively trying to attack them. Because a missionary is going on the front lines and trying to win for Christ what the devil possesses. And if we acknowledge that tonight, then we understand that undoubtedly there'll be struggles. Just like in this passage, it's not an easy business. And I understand this church knows that. That, you know, missionaries don't have the easy life. It's a struggle. It's hard on the mission field to labor and try to win people who maybe are actively involved in Satanism or Islam. You understand that even when my back is turned, they're going to laugh. And I'm going to know. Keep the hands up nice and high. Keep them up nice and high, all right? The Amalekites are getting the victory. Mission after missionary is going to have some hardships. Hey, all we have to do is look at the Apostle Paul. Didn't the Apostle Paul go through some hardships? He was stoned. He was put in prison. What we see from that is this. There are struggles. There are hardships. I want you to look next. Not only are struggles to be expected, though, but get this now. Support is essential. Verse number 11 says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Listen, get this. Moses' hands were heavy, and as his hands were dropping, the Amalekites get the victory. I understand he's struggling, but I want you to get this truth right now. If there is no Aaron, if there is no Hur, the Amalekites get the victory that day. Do you understand that? I know Moses is, if you will, the missionary. And he gets all the credit. And he gets the prayer card. And he gets his name in lights. And when we think of, you know, superstar Christians, if you will, you know, he's the one of those heroes of the faith, of Moses. But understand that if there was no Aaron and there was no Hur that day, the Amalekites get the victory. Can I say in the same way, when it comes to missions, missionaries need Aaron's and they need hers. They need a Crossroads Baptist Church that will come alongside them during that ministry time and hold up the one hand and hold up the other hand and stay those hands up. And without that, then we're going to see failure after failure when it comes to the missions field. When I was getting started to start deputation a while back, I was wondering how long you were going to let the man suffer. When I was getting ready to start deputation, there was a missionary coming off the field. And our paths crossed. I asked him if he would have a cup of coffee with me because I always want to learn from missionaries and figure out what they did right, what didn't they expect, you know, any wisdom that I can glean from them. And I asked him, I said, hey, will you be transparent with me? Why are you coming off the field? And this is what he said, right or wrong, this is what he said. He said, hey, when I was on deputation and I was getting ready to go to the field, he said, I got cards, I got letters. People took us out. People said they were going to pray for us. They bought us gifts. I got care packages. People said they were behind me. He said, when I went to the airport, there was a crowd of people to send me off to my missions field. And they literally rolled out a red carpet and brought that up to where he had to get on the plane. He said, I knew people were behind me. He said, for 3 months when I was on the field, I was getting emails and I was hearing from people and people were calling. People were saying they were praying. But right around that 3 month period, I watched it die off. And he said, for the last 6 years, I rarely hear from anybody. And he said, man, when I was going through tough times, when I was going through trials on the mission field, I never sensed anyone was praying for me. He's home off the field today. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying the reality of the matter is this, that his hands got heavy. And as a result of those hands getting heavy, and there was no Aaron, there was no her, there was no people to come alongside him and keep those hands up. As a result of that, another missionary off the field. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. Like I said, we'll say, hey, I'm praying for you. But if we don't actually come through on that, then it's just an empty promise. I don't know about you, but if it's not on my to-do list, it doesn't happen. And what I have found is it's real easy to say, hey, I'll pray for you. Hey, man, I'm praying. But if there's not a system in my life to help make that happen, then the chances are it's not going to happen. So my question for you, if you're anything like that, if we're a week after the missions conference and you remember all those promises to pray, but you can't look back in this past week and see real times of prayer for those missionaries, my question is this: what is going to be your system? One of the things, and I brought it tonight, that my family does is we have just a photo book, and you flip them. And then each day is a new photo. I don't know if you've ever seen these at Target or something. But then each day is a new missionary. And what we do is we have a missionary every day. And that missionary is our missionary for the day. So throughout the day, that's the missionary we're going to pray for. And then the next day, we flip it, and then that's our missionary. Maybe you could get something like this and put it on, you know, in your living room or your dining room table. Put your favorite missionary on the front, you know, Michael and Erica Barone. And you say, hey, we'll put them on the front, and then maybe every third one, just put the, you know, you got options. And then, you know, you could put your second favorite missionary or something like that, the next one. But it's a system. And I was looking at your website recently. It's been redesigned. It looks gorgeous. How you have that set up for your missionaries is another thing in place for you. I know I have one friend who takes the pictures, and he sets it as his wallpaper on the computer every day, a different missionary, and that's his missionary for the day. You could do that, and you could do that right off your website. But this church has so many resources to help you commit to praying for missionaries. And like I said, and I want to drive this home, put something in place. Be an Aaron and a Hur. And what I love about the passage is Moses tells Joshua, hey, I'm going up to the top of the hill. It's interesting that he doesn't say Aaron and Hur are coming. I'm guessing that Aaron and Hur just said, hey, I'm gonna go and be a help to him. It looks as though they weren't invited. And what I'm saying is this church needs to have some Aaron and Hurs that say, hey, I'm going to get behind the flowers. I'm going to get behind the Ireland's. And I'm going to be their Aaron and their her. And put something in place so that we're praying. Support is essential. Without that support, the hands fail. And world evangelization doesn't get accomplished because the enemy gets the victory. Struggles are expected. Support is essential. Lastly tonight, what we see in Exodus chapter 17 is that success is possible. Look with me again in verse number 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua discomfited. They got the victory, discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Can I say tonight, success is possible. Do you understand that we are more than conquerors through Christ? We hear oftentimes, and I'm at a lot of missions conferences, and I hear Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. And people shake their head. And I hear 3 billion people have never heard the gospel. Not a matter of 3 billion people are not saved. 3 billion people have never had the opportunity to get saved. And we shake our head to that. You know, you understand tonight that doesn't have to be that way. How about 15 years from now, we're talking about Christianity is the fastest growing religion. There is absolutely no reason on earth why that's not possible with our God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's our God. And if that is the case, then success is possible. But how is success possible? With some Aaron and some hers. You know, since they have come up, his hands have not dropped. Is that fair to say? And I want you to grab that illustration. I want you to grab that object lesson. Before they came up, you guys were chuckling. You were laughing because his hands were falling. He was making excuses. He was trying to do things behind my back. Failure was going to happen. But since they have come up, and they didn't get the man a chair. That would have fit a little bit better, but they're not perfect, but they helped him. But since they have come up, I've not heard you giggle. His hands are steady. Are you feeling better?
Feeling great.
Yeah, he's feeling great. He's happy he came to church tonight. He's thrilled he sat on the front row. I want to say tonight, success is possible. Amen. Right. We're not on the losing side when it comes to world evangelization. We can accomplish it. It's going to happen if there's some support for the missionaries. If those prayer cards don't just get lost in our Bible and on the end table, and then we clean out our Bible, and we take those and we stuff it in a drawer, never to be seen again if it's anything like my house. But if we'll come up with a system and we'll commit tonight, you know what? I'm going to be an Aaron. I'm going to be a her for our missionaries. I believe with all my heart it'll take this church to the next level when it comes to support. Because world evangelization is not just going to get accomplished by, you know, faithful support checks. It's not going to just get accomplished by putting on great conferences. Although those are great things to do. But if we want to see the success on the missions field that we're talking about, we need to be that support. Not empty promises, but coming alongside. And when we do, I believe that the missionaries' hands will be steady until the going down of the sun. And I believe that we'll discomfit, we'll get the victory over the enemy. Amen. You can take a seat, and you guys should give them a round of applause. Let me say this tonight, and I'm done. What if they didn't come up? Would he still be here, struggling? Let me ask another question. Why didn't you get out of your seat to help him? I don't think anybody would say, man, it's just too much trouble. And I wanted to say, hey, you saw him struggling. And I'm thankful for the 2 men that came up and gave him a hand. And I know he's thankful for those 2 men that gave him a hand. But why wasn't it you? And I hope that it was, hey, I just didn't want to interrupt your message because I believe that was easy to help him. It's a little bit harder tomorrow to commit a time to pray for the missionaries. But we need to be people who, when we see a need and when we see a struggle, we say, hey, what can I do to be a part of it? And we need to be a people not depending on, you know, somebody else to do it. We need to say, God, I want to be that Aaron. God, I want to be that her that supports missionaries. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me for just a second? Let me just ask a few questions and I'm done. How many of you would say, just being transparent tonight, so we can be honest and we can pray and we can do the work that God wants. How many of you would say, in the last 7 days since the missions conference, I have not been as faithful in praying for the missionaries as I promised? Nobody looking around. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But just being honest so we can do business with God. How many would say, you know what? I made some promises that I haven't kept in the last 7 days. Would you raise your hand? I see hands all over. Okay, you can put your hands down. And listen. Although maybe there's some shame involved, understand that there's a new week ahead. That the grace of God will forgive that and move on. But now we have an opportunity to be awakened to that and to allow God to change us. So how about tonight, and I'm going to have Pastor come and lead us in this invitation, but how about tonight we make sure that when we walk out these doors that it's no longer just an empty promise, but that there's something in our lives that'll help us to commit to faithfully holding up the arms of the missionaries. Amen.
How many of you tonight, the Lord has spoken to your heart about the importance of being an Aaron or a her? Would you raise your hand right now? If God's just kind of moved in your heart all over the building. What I want to do right now is I want to extend, and it's still early. It's only 9:45. I want to have a time of prayer for the missionaries that were in our conference, for the Barones. And if God's dealt with your heart, and if you are able, and you would like to do this, it's your choice. I'm going to open up to come right up front here, and let's just kneel together and pray. So let's all stand. And if you'd like to come right now and kneel with us, pastors are going to come now, and we're going to pray for the missionaries and for these folks. You come if you'd like to. Just come right here.